Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our podcast. I'm David Pritchard, Head of Marketing here at Sintons, joined today by my colleague Elizabeth Gallagher, who is a consultant in the family team here at Sintons. And our podcast today is part of a lot of content that we're putting out this week from the family team to once again support Awareness Week and Resolution, which this year highlights the need for cohabitation reform. So you will see a lot from us this week. Obviously, we talked a lot about what we're going to be doing last week on our social media channels, and there's going to be things from us each day from different members of the team across different formats, be those Q&As, be those podcasts, be those articles. So please do look out for it. Our podcast today with Liz is going to last approximately 5 to 10 minutes, and we're actually going to talk about Resolution Awareness Week itself. So I've got several questions I'm going to ask Liz, and Liz has kindly agreed to answer them for us. So first question is, Liz, good morning. And what is Resolution, and what has Resolution Awareness Week been about this year?
Come on, David, thank you for having us and raising this awareness. Resolution is an organisation of family lawyers who aims to resolve disputes in a non-confrontational and constructive way. And the lawyers that are part of this organisation adhere to a code of practice. And this year is Resolution's 40th anniversary. And as part of that anniversary, they've launched a vision for family justice and what their vision is for the future, because they do tend to take up various causes and promote them. And the big one this year, which has been part of Awareness Week, is concentrating on cohabitation reform.
Okay, so I suppose the obvious question is, why is cohabitation reform required?
Well, I think it's probably a little bit of a misnomer. Studies have shown that probably 46% of people don't realise that when you're not married, you don't have the same rights as a married couple. So there's no such thing as a common law wife or husband. So a couple may live together, the property could be in one person's name. They might live together for a long time, but the party who doesn't have the name legally on the property, and certainly in the first instance, will have very little rights. We have to look at strict property law. That person's not protected under what we would call a Matrimonial Causes Act, as if they were married. And it's very difficult to prove that you have an interest in a property if your name's not on the legal title and you're not married. Also, there is no right to financial support, no maintenance.
So we've mentioned Resolution. Has Resolution been successful in instigating other law reforms?
Yes, they have. And I think the big one that people will be aware of is No Fault Divorce, which they campaigned about for many years. Previously, you had to name one of five reasons for bringing a marriage to an end. But No Fault Divorce, after many years of campaigning, became live in April 22, and we now have that.
Okay, so why has that been important? And aren't a lot of people disgruntled if they can't blame their other half for the breakdown of a marriage?
I think initially people may be disgruntled, or some people, though there are a lot of people who just naturally think that their marriage has come to an end and they want to go their separate ways and they don't want to blame the other party. But the crucial thing is that, and what often people didn't really realise, was that when people come to look at how to resolve financial matters, it didn't make any difference as to the reason for the divorce. And often people would get very embroiled in arguing about the reason for the divorce for no real purpose other than possibly to, you know, make a point of principle. And principles can be expensive. People would spend a lot of time, legal costs, efforts and stress arguing about the reason for the divorce, as I say, without a concrete reason, an outcome. And the result would that, apart from, you know, spending money, becoming stressed, they would become very polarised in their positions. That would often make it harder to resolve the financial aspects or children issues or other things that needed to be resolved. And also, if people do have children and they need to have some kind of co-parenting goal going forward, this is very difficult if they've become involved in a very difficult battle about the reason for the divorce. So it has made things a lot more simple, but it took Resolution quite a long time to do that. But as I say, that they have done that, which I think is a benefit for all separating couples, really. And hopefully the same will be with cohabitation reform as well.
Interesting. I guess some people may have in mind sort of the scenario of difficult courtroom dramas about family disputes and kind of going back in time. They may even remember the 1979 film Kramer versus Kramer. You've mentioned about how resolution members adhere to a code of conduct. How does that work in practice when advising a client how to resolve a family dispute?
Well, I think it is difficult because often people will be in very difficult, emotionally charged situations, and we have to try and ascertain, you know, what they are hoping to achieve and try and talk them through how best to achieve that, really. You know, sometimes it's a question of, do you want to go from A to B on the most quickest, cost-effective, least stressful route, or do you go by a very sort of circuitous route, really? I mean, trust clearly is very important, and there's often a lack of trust when a relationship breaks down. But we do try and focus on, if you do it the most difficult way and you see it as sort of going into battle with your spouse, how much difference is the outcome going to be? What is the effect on you? How is it going to affect your children? And generally, people will try and take a sort of pragmatic attitude and be aware that, you know, they may well have fallen out with their spouse, but they still have to be parents to their children. And we always say to people that ultimately at the end of the process, hopefully you want to be able to attend graduations with your ex-spouse, be at your children's weddings. And if, you know, a solid foundation is built upon as to how you deal with your separation, hopefully that's going to, you know, help things in the future. I mean, clearly it is never easy, and often a lot of people find it very difficult to deal with things in that way. But certainly resolution does help with this code of conduct and how solicitors conduct themselves and how they deal with their counterparts. And in the vast majority of cases that people do adhere to the code of conduct, that is better for the clients in terms of emotional stress, legal costs, and as I say, you know, for the family as a whole and being able to co-parent their children going forward.
Okay, so what advice would you give if, say, for example, a client is very distraught at the prospect of the breakdown of his or her marriage and wants to be, shall we say, combative in their approach?
Well, I think we've always got to try and look at each case and see the best way of dealing with each case and how to get the best outcome. You know, different cases, different scenarios are best suited to different ways of resolving things. In some cases, people can sit around a kitchen table and to some extent sort of do it themselves and reach quite a lot of agreement between themselves. Sometimes they have to involve solicitors in correspondence. Sometimes solicitors correspondence can get a bit like Chinese whispers, and that can't be, that's not necessarily the best outcome. If people can't communicate between themselves, we will always recommend mediation. Some people, I think, confuse mediation maybe with reconciliation or, you know, getting back together. But with mediation, both parties attend with an independent trained mediator who is a facilitator. The mediator can't provide legal advice, but the mediator will try and help the couple reach their own solution. And it's always better if you can reach an own solution rather than having something sort of imposed upon you, really. Usually with mediation, you'll probably have to have a little bit of parallel legal advice as well, because you just want to check that you're on the right course. But a lot of cases with an independent third party will help the parties reach an agreement between themselves. Another alternative which we offer at Sintons is resolving things through the collaborative practice. We have three trained collaborative lawyers at Sintons, and there are quite a few collaborative lawyers in the Northeast. And with the collaborative practice, we agree at the outset that we're not going to go to court, but we're going to try and resolve things by talking about things in a four-way meeting. And generally, it's a much more sort of holistic and team approach, really, a slightly different way of doing things. Now, we accept that not every case is suitable to do that. Not everyone can sit around a table, whether in the same room or virtually with their former spouse, but in many cases, if certainly if there are issues about children to resolve, it's much easier if somebody's got a concern or a query and there can be a direct response back. Sometimes we find that our clients might say, oh, well, you know, my former spouse has had legal advice and they've told me X, Y, and Z, and you don't know whether that's right or not. But with the collaborative process, you have two collaboratives lawyers in the room. Each party has their collaborative lawyer with them. And what the law says is explained to both parties. Sometimes the lawyers might disagree about the interpretation of the law, but generally they should hear the same things. Also with the collaborative process, we can bring in third parties. So we might bring a financial advisor in or a pension expert in, and they will look at the problem as a whole and try and look at the best way of using those financial resources and getting the best outcomes for the family as a whole. So that's much more of a holistic approach, but does require sort of some trust between the parties to be able to work together to reach an outcome together. It's accepted that in not all cases people are able to reach an agreement. Sometimes you need a third party who is just going to make an agreement, make a decision, and somebody has, you know, the parties have to abide by that decision. And that's where arbitration can come in. And arbitration is a little bit like hiring a private judge, that you present your case and the arbitrator makes the decision, which is binding in the same way as a court order. But it does have some advantages over the court process in that you have control over who the arbitrator is when the arbitration process takes place. And again, that's a much better process than going to court. Obviously, you asked about people who want to take a combative approach, and often people will come in and at the first stage, you know, I want to go to court, I want to get everything I can. Usually we will advise that going to court should be a last resort. Litigation is very uncertain. You can go in front of five different judges and get five different outcomes. The court system is clogged up. The process takes a long time and it can be very expensive and very stressful. But equally, we recognise that there are some cases where we may have to go to court. There may be a party who's not disclosing assets. We may need to get court orders for assets to be disclosed or to make people do other things. And there may be no other alternative but to go to the court process. But even in the court process, at each stage in the court process, parties are always encouraged to reach an agreement. And at sentence, we will always try and take a pragmatic and constructive approach. And, you know, even once we've issued court proceedings, if we think a case should be settled, we'll encourage a client to put forward proposals. So there are lots of ways that we can try and resolve issues, you know, when a family breaks down.
Thanks, Liz. Well, I've just got one final question for you and then we'll wrap things up. When a client's looking to engage a solicitor to assist in a family dispute, what advice would you give to a potential client when deciding who to instruct?
Thanks, Kevin. I think that's quite a relevant question, really, because I'm sure when people are looking to instruct a solicitor, it's a bit of a minefield. What I would say is that, I guess, in like any walk of life, it's horses for courses, really. Going through a divorce or separation is a very traumatic time. It's been likened to people suffering a bereavement. So it's very important that if you're in that situation and you're looking for some legal advice, that you feel comfortable and you can work with your lawyer. Here at Sentence, we do a no fee, no obligation 30-minute initial chat. And I always find that's quite helpful. And it's important if anyone's got any concerns about the process, they ask about the different processes, they ask about how much it might potentially cost. We can't always be specific, but we can give broad figures. You know, ask your lawyer how they work. We tend to be mainly paperless now. We tend to do most things by email. Does that suit the particular person? We do a lot of things remotely, but do they want to have spend time in the office? You know, I think you can build a relationship with your lawyer and you've got to make it tailored to suit you, really. I would also say probably don't have unrealistic expectations about what your lawyer can do. We can only really advise on the legal issues. Often there are a lot of other issues that arise in a separation, but we will signpost people to other professionals if we think there are non-legal type issues that need to be dealt with. We often talk about emotional readiness and being in a fit state to be able to deal with a separation or a divorce. And sometimes it's a bit like being an athlete who has to build up fitness to participate in a race. You know, you have to be in the right place to be able to deal with these issues. But certainly I would say speak to a lawyer initially. We would rather have an initial chat with you, even if you decide that we're not the right people for you. But we have different personalities in the team. We have people at different stages in their career. So hopefully we will be able to match somebody to your needs, really.
That's great, Liz. Thanks very much. Thank you for your time. Enjoyed listening to that one. Just very quickly from me, I say this at the end of each of our podcasts and our Q&As. We work hard to continue to produce, release and deliver useful and relevant content, articles, podcasts, blogs, all of which can be found on our website, www.sintons.co.uk, should you wish to take a look. And there's a whole wealth of family-related content on there, from just the pages on the website, which give really useful information and signpost people kind of as to what to do, along to our articles, our podcasts, our blogs, and also our live Q&A, which we push out once a month, which is questions that you ask us. And that's the third working Friday of a month, live at Teams on 10 a.m. Okay, so if you haven't heard enough from us by that point, you can also follow the team on Twitter at Sintons Law, and also on our relatively new Instagram page, also at Sintons Law. If you'd like to discuss anything that Liz has raised today further, as she says, please don't hesitate to get in touch with her or a member of the team. Liz can be contacted via telephone 0191-226-7878 or via email elizabeth.gallagher@sintons.co.uk. And as I mentioned at the outset, we are providing all this content this week to support resolution, to support awareness week, which once again highlights the need for cohabitation reform. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for engaging with us this week as much as you have done so far, which is absolutely fantastic. We've got more things coming out this week, as I mentioned, as I said at the outset. So please do look out for that. Stay safe, everyone. Thank you to Liz for speaking to me, and we'll catch you next time. Thank you.